me pray for us and we'll get started. Holy and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have drawn your people together at this place to carry on the mission that you've given your church, Lord, to make disciples and to make the gospel known throughout the world. And I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to do that in 2023, and that you would bind us together with the spirit of unity, Lord, that transcends all of our ideologies and all of our convictions and is anchored in you and you alone. We pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so here's where we're going this morning. So as I already mentioned this morning, if you miss any of the classes, you'll have to take them again next year. No, I'm kidding. You can listen to them at any time online. Good morning, good morning. Come
good
on
morning.
In. Glad to see more folks brave the cold this morning. A little chilly. I'm waiting for the real cold stuff, like 30 degrees, you know. All right, so yes, if you've missed any of the previous classes, you can listen online at trinityburney.org/Christian Ed. I recognize that some of you know me, know about me, but I wanted to share a little bit with you so that you could, you know me better, right? And so I put together this slide. This is a slide of me. As you may know, I'm one of the ruling elders here. We have two types of elders in our denomination, ruling elder and a teaching elder. Ruling elder is responsible for three things, for the spiritual oversight of the church, for governance, and for teaching, right? And so that's what we're doing this morning. But so this is me back in 1997. I worked for UPS, still work there. I'm one of those weird guys that, you know, didn't know any better, I guess, and I stayed. So, so that's me circa 1997. There's a lot of pictures of me and my wife because we spent a lot of time together, right? I do have parents. I didn't include them on here because I couldn't find some good enough pictures, I guess, to include them. But I do have parents, love my parents. Let's see. This is my granddaughter. We're talking about grandkids. That's my granddaughter. Her name's Selena. And that's my grandson. His name's Aiden. That's their dad. Some of you may know he passed away last December in a tragic workplace accident. And so we're still kind of going through that grief process, but, you know, the Lord is good, and his people have, you know, gathered around us, and his mercy is near, and so we're getting through it, but glad to have, you know, the grandkids with us, and glad to have known Roger the years that we did. And so these are my other two kids. So I've got Benjamin. He's up here. He's 23, and this is Zoe. She's 22. They're like 15 months apart, and so... most people had Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day, so we're having Thanksgiving with our family today. And so I'm really looking forward to everything you guys experienced, hopefully, on Thanksgiving today. I've got the turkey sitting in a brine, and, you know, we're going to drop it in the oven when we get home from church. And so we're excited about all that. I have, my lips have not yet touched pumpkin pie, so I'm a little edgy, you know. And so let's see here. This is some, you know, vacation, Estes Park, Colorado, one of our favorite places. My two doggies, dachshunds, right? But I've been here since 2016, became an elder in 2019. Prior to that, I attended a church called Oakwood Presbyterian Church in San Antonio, Texas. I was there, a PCA church. I was there for 15 years until it dissolved. And as the Lord would have it, you know, we found Trinity. We fell in love with the people, their love, you know, their ministry. And so we joined, and we've been here ever since. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell. And I wanted to share just some pictures and a little bit about kind of who I am and what I do here. Do you have any questions about any of those pictures?
Mrs. Baird's.
Oh, yeah. So this, isn't that great? Jesus, today's special, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So that was on a trip to New Mexico. We drove through... I guess it's Lubbock, middle of nowhere, right? And there's this cafe that one of the other elders told me about. Hey, if you're in the area, most people aren't, you know, make sure you stop there. And sure enough, it was so good. Breakfast, you know, one of those little cafes, it's everything good, pancakes, oh man. So we heard ourselves there, but I love that sign because they're big on Jesus. Everyone has a shirt that has a verse on it, and I'm like, wow, awesome. I mean, you see a little bit of that around here too, right? So it's kind of neat. So I forget the name of the restaurant. I'll have to ask Scott Norris about that one. All right, well, let's keep going. So we're going to talk about two things this morning. I'm going to share with you guys a brief history, and then we're going to talk about the good stuff, kind of where our theology meets the road, right? Our values, how we give those expression, and why they're important to us. And so a brief history. So as you may or may not know, the Presbyterian Church of America has a strong commitment to evangelism, missionary work at home and abroad, and to Christian education. And so from its inception, the church has determined its purpose to be faithful to the scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. And so, as you know, 1645, the formation of the Westminster Standards, that is, the standards have been the key doctrinal documents for our denomination. And but even before that, right, the Reformation, the two things that kind of drove the Reformation were the solas, the five solas, and then the 5 points of Calvinism, right? But in 1973, that's when the PCA was formed. So previously it was part of the, let me do this, because you're going to hear this a lot. You decide to hang out with us longer. I hope you do. You're going to hear, and you probably already know, PCA and the PCUSA, right? And so this is us here. So whenever, if you see a news article, you know, about the PCUSA, just know that it's not the PCA. This is the Presbyterian Church in America. And this is the Presbyterian Church in the USA. And so, just wanted to make that distinction. They sound very similar, but they're not. I'll give you a couple of the distinctives here in a minute. So let's see here. So throughout the 20th century, various Presbyterian denominations arose and merged, and then they split into various breakaway groups, like most denominations, right? You see that happening over, guess what, doctrinal issues, right? And so in 1973, the PCA organized as a constitutional assembly. The PCA was first known as the National Presbyterian Church, but then it later changed its name to the PCA in 74. So delegates, so how did it come about? So there was a lot of like-minded people, 260 delegates from 260 congregations and 41,000 commuting members left the PCUSA. On December of 1973, didn't just happen overnight. There was this, you know, this long developing theological liberalism, which was the piece that the group that was the delegates that became the PCA were against. So liberalism that did two things: denied the deity of Jesus Christ and the inerrancy and the authority of Scripture. Okay, and so hence the new group, hence the separation there. And the name change and the new formation of the Presbyterian Church in America. And so why the PCA left the PCUSA in 73 is still, I believe, the most important thing that you need to know about our denomination today. Our commitment to doctrinal standards, right, the Westminster Standards, are still important, right? It's still central to who we are. We're still affirming the preeminence and the person and work of Jesus Christ. And biblical fidelity in everything that we do, okay? So a couple of facts for you. The PCA still is, the PCUSA, still is the largest Presbyterian denomination in the U.S. The PCA has approximately, our denomination, see what I'm doing? I'm trying to get you guys mixed up. The PCA has approximately 1,800 congregations and 360 7,000 members, so probably about a third of the size of the PCUSA still. However, the PCA is one of the fastest growing denominations in the U.S. It's actually grown tenfold since 1983. An interesting fact about the PCUSA, okay, so the reason that this group left and formed the PCA, that trend is still ongoing, okay? And so over 10,000, let's see, they've been steadily declining in churches and membership since that time, 37% decline since 1982. So it's not a denomination that's exactly growing. They're kind of, you know, declining.
So in this new century, the PCA continues its commitment to evangelism worldwide and building up of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just celebrated 50 years as a denomination, which is kind of neat. So 2023, 50th anniversary. So yay, you guys get to be a part of that. Everyone likes a birthday, right? All right, so this is the unity slide. So PCA denomination, a culture of peace. And so this is a diagram that our pastor, Pastor Allen, has created just to communicate what's important. You know, you've probably heard the, oh, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. Let's see here. Yeah, right. Let's do slideshow from current slide.
There's a new slide.
Oh, okay, you're seeing that. All right, thank you. So this is a slide that's intended to communicate what's important in the PCA. And so as you probably, you may be familiar with the quote that's been attributed to a number of theologians. But one of the theologians is St. Augustine, and so, you know, he is famous for saying that in essentials, unity, right? In non-essentials, liberty. And in everything else, let's see here, charity, right? So no tracking. All right. So unity in the church is a priority to Jesus, and therefore it's a priority to the PCA. Church communities are places for unity and diversity where God's people submit to biblical doctrine. So that's what we have in common, right? A truth and a belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We place a high priority on knowing the difference between core beliefs, which every Christian believes, and personal convictions, which may differ between sincere Christians. So what would be a difference between like a core belief and a conviction or a commitment that someone would have?
Drinking alcohol.
Okay, so where would you put that?
I hope that's in the
you're like, I hope it's somewhere in the on the target. Okay.
Conviction, commitment.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Okay. Do you have to drink alcohol to be on the PCA?
just the communion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The church that we went to, and that's another, you know, thing where there's liberty there. We had both. We had the wine and the grape juice, and so I think we're just doing grape juice. That might change tomorrow, but that's what we're doing today. Any other examples of like a core belief versus something that you have a conviction about that wouldn't be something that the church shouldn't be united over? Pastor Allen regularly cites 2020, you know, the year of divisiveness, you know, everything that was happening in the world, politically, geopolitically, and some churches didn't make it, right? Because those commitments to those ideologies, those convictions about those, again, maybe philosophies, were forced into the core beliefs of that church. And that doesn't, you know, not surprisingly, it doesn't support or promote unity, right? Very often it's something that's divisive because what we start preaching invariably is Jesus plus, right? Jesus plus, vote my way, Jesus plus, do this way, you know? And so the PCA safeguards against that kind of thing by having those core beliefs. Any other thoughts about that? Is that important to a church or denomination, do you think? When you consider the vastness of everyone's experiences in here, I mean, I can't even imagine what your experiences are in the church. So I grew up in the church, never knew a day without the church. But I will also tell you that my parents struggled with this because we must have gone to no less than 10 churches, right? We moved because we would have conflict or something like that. or a disagreement, right? A conviction or a commitment to a certain ideology. It was always in those other, it was always over these two things in my family. And we would leave and we would forsake, and you know, unintentionally, our core beliefs. So I grew up seeing that, experiencing really the damage to our family and our friendships. And so when I found the PCA and you know, church that was committed to core beliefs in spite of those things, it was refreshing, you know, and I said, I like that. I don't like that. I grew up primarily Protestant, you know, went to a lot of Baptist churches, non-denominational churches, maybe even First Assembly for a little bit. And my experience with the PCA wasn't until I met my wife, Fina. Forgot to tell you that part about her whole story. And so I was like, I don't know anything about the PCA, but I like her, so I guess I'm going to go here, right? so she was okay with that, and you know, the rest is history. But it was at that time that I learned I had not been able to reconcile so much of my past, right? Because I always felt like I was this close to losing my salvation. And it was frightening, and it was depressing, it didn't make me want to continue to go to church sometimes, you know, because God was angry with me over my sin. And so it wasn't until I learned about the doctrines of grace, and I realized how big God was. I said, that's the kind of God I need to deal with my mess, right? And so that was an important day for me in my learning, but also in the way that I worshiped God and thought about Him. Is this thing working? Jeez. I think there's a lag.
It's cold.
Weird. Oh, yeah, it's cold. Let me warm this thing up. Hang on.
Maybe just unplug and replug.
Yeah, it's not. My screen is not jiving with that screen.
That's the technical solution. For a reason.
That's right. Reboot it. Oh, I know, Trey. So the first part of my career, I was in IT, and yeah, I mean, 7 out of 10 times you tell someone to reboot and it fixes whatever problem they're having. That was kind of the joke, right? Yeah. Oh, you saw it? Okay.
It's below the screen, to the bottom of the screen.
Like if you can scroll down or scroll up, whichever.
I got
gotcha.
You.
Escape key.
All right, we're getting where we need to get to. And so this little banner here, I think will go away. If I do exit. Yep. Magic. All right, we're making progress. So where do all of these lofty ideals, you know, this tradition, this history, how does it translate to what we're doing here in Trinity? That's where our values come in our mission, to proclaim Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And then our pastor, our session, has articulated how we go about living that out and expressing that in our church and our community in 5 values that I'm going to share with you. So the first one is kingdom living. Are y'all familiar with these? Have you seen these before on our website? Yeah, so if you go to our website, there's a lot of information there. Under About Me, you're going to see the mission. And if you click on mission, you're going to get all of this. So kingdom living is important to what we do and how we do it. So we endeavor to live with humility and a courageous commitment to Christ. We recognize that we are sinners and model repentance in our daily living, that we might reflect the priorities of God's kingdom consistent with being followers of Christ. Why is that important? Any thoughts?
Well, the fact that we fact, recognize that we were sinners, I think is huge, because it tells you that you can't have it puts you kind of in your place in the world. And
mm-hmm.
there are so many people who don't think there's sin is kind of a bad word. I don't know. I think that you always have to remember you're a sinner. I don't care what you did.
Yeah.
Or what good things you do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When they talk about do as I say, or you know, I mean, it's your words your lifestyle matches up with your words.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the importance of actually living out what you're talking maybe to other people about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there has to be a connection between your faith and your practice, right? In the truth that you believe in, and then the duty that you are committed to, right? As a Christian. And so, if we're not following Christ, then there's no way we're ever going to end up doing kingdom living together, right? And so, Matthew 5 verses 1-12 are the Beatitudes, and so this is a great place to go and see anew, afresh, you know, the requirements, right? What it looks like to be a follower of Christ. What do the followers of Christ do? Healthy relationships, that's really important too, right? In any group, in any organization, any gathering. And so we believe that our lives should be marked by trust, integrity, and transparency. The end result will be a community of people reconciled to each other and to God. By relating in a healthy manner with each other, with the Burundi community, and with God, we will give Him glory. And so, it's as you were mentioning, Allison, you know, if we go around pretending that we don't need, you know, that we aren't in need of healing, cleansing, right, forgiveness today, then it's really hard to maintain a healthy relationship with others, right, because we very quickly go to relating based on maybe I'm a little bit higher than you, right? Because you're a mess. And I'm better at covering it up than you are. But healthy relationships and the level of trust and integrity that they afford us allow us to live with one another in truth and honesty. And to receive, that means embrace that we can only receive through the people of God and the community of God. Authentic worship is also another priority at Trinity. Our worship is passionate and involves fervent participation. We are mindful of God's presence, and that worship is our primary calling. All of life is an offering of worship to our worthy God. As I mentioned earlier, I've participated in a lot of different worship styles, and every time, it's just human nature, every time you go to another church where it's different, you kind of look at it and you raise your brow, and you start to think, like, it's not just different, it's wrong, you know? I mean, there's plenty of times where I moved from, you know, worship being a core belief to, you know what, my commitment or my convictions about it are such, and it was separating me from God's people, and I was missing the point, right? There are a lot of different types of worship that are faithful to God, that make Him the center, and that's okay. And in fact, you know, talking about diversity, if you visit, you should do this sometime as you're traveling around Texas or South Texas, you know, visit some of our other sister churches, or our PCA churches. We've got one downtown, Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Their worship is a little bit different than ours. You know, All Saints in Austin, a little bit different than ours. You know, but if you see it for what it is, who they're giving glory to, it's all the same, right? It's like, oh, wow, Christ is obviously the center here, and this is good. It's okay, right? those non-denominational churches, they rock out, I tell you that. And that was one of the things when, you know, I came to a church that had a more traditional liturgy with hymns, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. This is old-fashioned. And it wasn't until God changed my heart and my mind about this thing to say, you know what? Beautiful, beautiful theology in the hymns, right? Beautiful words, beautiful notes and everything. And so so I've learned to appreciate, you know, the hymnody and really different styles, I should say, of worship, right? But I like what we do here too. I definitely like what we do at Trinity, and I hope you do too. All right, it's working. Yay! Switching tray. I didn't have to crank it up. Christ-centered teaching and preaching, also important, right? Our aim is in teaching and preaching is to point to the sufficiency of Christ in salvation and sanctification. We desire the practical outworking and application of scriptural truth rather than merely the accumulation of information. We see a difference in knowing God and knowing about God. Yeah. That's a huge distinction, guys, because for a long time, many, many years of my life, I knew about God. I didn't really know God. you know, I was at best, you know, nominal Christian, and you might say I was living a type of curated Christianity, you know, where I knew what I liked, you know, and I kind of picked those things out from the plate. but I didn't know God, right? I had a lot of convictions, I had a lot of commitments to my ideas, but I was missing the core beliefs again. It wasn't until God, you know, changed my heart and my mind about those things and allowed me to see him for who he is that I began to know him. Community outreach, it's also a big deal here at Trinity. We communicate the life-transforming truth of the gospel to anyone who will listen so that the church's demographics reflect the community God has called us to serve. We engage in outreach that is understandable, and we trust for God's Spirit to move in the hearts of those who hear. We initiate into the messiness of life, I like that, with love and mercy, rather than foster a come and see mentality. I'm talking a lot, but what are some of the things that kind of stick out for you in either of those two values, maybe that resonate with you, hopefully.
I like that sentence in number four, we desire the practical outworking and application of scriptural truths rather than merely the accumulation of information.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I had a pastor that said, you know, that there's the difference is 18 inches. It's from your head to your heart. And you can have a lot of stuff in your head, but until it moves to your heart, then, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else?
What would you classify like as outreach here at Trinity? What sorts of?
Yeah, so we've got obviously we've got our missions, and that's kind of, you know, global, right? I mean, we've got missionaries all over the place, but we've got various, you know, men's, women's, and children's ministries, right? They're designed to bring people in. And to teach them, right, to disciple them. We also have, I think it's on pause, like a jail ministry where we were going to the local jail and sharing the gospel with people there. We also have a grief share ministry that invites folks to come that are dealing with grief. I've been to that one season. It's super helpful.
We also partner with the Hill Country Pregnancy Center as well as Hill Country Daily Bread to meet the material needs of folks in our community. And so there's a lot of, as you've seen, we've got, we're regularly advertising, hey, there's another volunteer opportunity. So we, you know, these are organizations that are, they're well organized to meet that those needs. And so we're just lending kind of bodies to them in order to kind of multiply our effect in our community. And so we do that, Pregnancy Center, Hill Country Daily Bread. And there was another, I would say, ministry opportunity or outreach opportunity that was communicated to us during our past Mission Sunday. And so a gentleman that does mentoring for men that show up with, you know, to the Hill Country Pregnancy Center. So if you're interested in that, being a getting some training to be a mentor to guys in our community that are, if you listen to the stories of people, young people that, you know, they go to the pregnancy center, there's usually a crisis situation, right? It's not a happy situation. And so the whole family, right, is in crisis. And so they need, you know, it's not just, you know, the women, but it's also the man that's going to need to support that woman, right, through that pregnancy. And so, another interesting, you know, ministry opportunity in the way that we minister to folks in our community. There may be others. I might have missed some, but those are just some. Yeah, yeah. We're always looking for ideas, though. You know, because as you know, you know, I've been a part of various outreach things, and there's always kind of a season for that. You know, it has a life cycle. And you have to know when it's time to kind of pull the plug on it, right? And it is what it is. But we're always looking for, you know, folks that have the interest, the giftedness, right? A calling to do something like that. They might have a skill that no one else has, right? That other folks can rally behind, and a way to connect with people and share the gospel. So, yeah, if you have a community outreach idea, gifting, something like that, by all means, let us know.
Hasn't there been like an ESL ministry in the past?
Yeah, that's what I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so English as a second language. So that was another need, right, that we saw. It was an educational and a spiritual need that we saw in our community, right? Folks that don't know English. And so we did it for a year, in that very first year before COVID. Man, we had like, I think on the highest day, we might have had like 80 students and their kids, because, you know, as you can imagine, these women were coming, they don't have daycare, so they got to bring their kids. And so we probably had about 40, 50 students, and the rest were kids, you know, with those. But so we were just talking about that ministry at our last session meeting, and kind of what we want to do in 2024. So if you have interest in that, let us know. We don't have any specific plans, so we're kind of putting that on hold for this year, and we're going to revisit that in January. But that's another outreach opportunity. Anything else about these two? Some good time. All right, well, this is what's coming next week. So this is the last week is next week. So Kevin Witten, our associate pastor, is going to be talking to you about growing in your faith, giving in service at Trinity, right? We're just talking about that. And then the process for signing up for a membership interview, right? So it would be with one or several, with the past one of the pastors and one or several of our elders. And so and it's just an opportunity for us to kind of get to know you better and hear your story of faith, right? It's always an encouragement to us. And then find out like I said earlier, what's in your heart, right? What skills, what gifting you have, that you can, that you might want to bring, right, to church, to Trinity. But we're also definitely about, as Allison mentioned, this is where it's at, right? So we're all, you know, we all have been saved, we're being saved, we will be saved, right? We're all in process, and so we fully recognize that, and we live in the awareness of our need, our daily need for God's provision in that area. And so we're there's lots of things that our church does. There's lots of things that a church can do, but its most important work is right, the preaching of the gospel and the making of disciples. And so a lot of our ministries are designed, are kind of like gateways. They're like on ramps to discipleship, right? And so wherever it is that you, and that's really the purpose for all our ministries, is hopefully to, you know, something to connect with you where you're at, in order to bring about additional growth in our faith for as many years as the Lord gives us, right? So that's the big idea. That's really all I had for you guys this morning in terms of sharing related to our denomination and kind of our values, like I said. Is there anything else that, any other questions that you might have related to what we do here?
Really, the PCA USA doesn't believe Christ is a deity?
It might be helpful to think about it in this way. It has a lot to do with who has the final say, right? So in our church, we say Christ is the head. He has the final say in matters of biblical fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, if the PCUSA has positions on things like abortion, right, same-sex marriage, like, you know, these are just a few of them, homosexual ministers, right? All of these are okay, right, in the PCA. And so you might ask, so maybe the question is, how can those things be okay? And clearly, the scripture defines these as sin. Well, the only way that can happen is if they're giving preeminence to the leadership structure there, where they can change their constitution, they can change their book of church order to say, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. Now, they're not saying wholesale, but they're saying it's way more broad in terms of when they think it's okay. This is definitely okay, and that's definitely okay, right? Homosexual ministers, just to name a few. And so, it's like any other false teaching. There's a little bit of truth, right? And then when you add something to that, it becomes no truth. And so. So I would say, in my mind, the thing that allows for that to exist in the PCUSA is really they claim to be Presbyterian, right? And they are, but the final say goes to their ministers, right? They're not holding firm to Christ being the head and king of the church.
So did PCUSA break away from PCA?
This is our
the other way around.
Yeah, we broke away from them. Yeah.
Okay. Does PCUSA point to scripture to validate those types of sin?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure. Yeah, they have their arguments, their support, as most churches do, right?
But they point to scripture. It's not just saying the world has changed, the Bible has changed, or the meaning of the Bible has changed.
Yeah, they still have a constitution and that is includes scripture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. There is an article called, I think it's called The Greatness of the PCA by a guy named Timothy Keller. And so if you want to take a deep dive on this and this, The Greatness of the PCA, let me just check real quick. Make sure that's the name of the article. It's a long article. It's like 30 pages long.
was it written?
I think it's like 2010. It's been a minute, but it's still, I mean,
well,
I just read
that's
it.
That's recent to me.
Yeah. I just read it recently, and oh, it's called What's So Great About the PCA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another topic that I think has split a lot of churches and denominations is the role of women in the church,
mm-hmm.
and church leadership.
Mm-hmm.
How does the PCA look at the difference between men and women's roles in the church?
Right. So the PCA, so that's another one, right, where... so the PCA does not allow for women to be ministers, right? And so you're right. There's a lot of, again, based on kind of your tradition of worship, where you came from, you know. There's a lot of folks that feel like that's okay, right? So the PCA, based on our standards, we say that is an office, that's a role that's been given to men. Okay, and it's part of the creation ordinance, right, where God made, you know, the two sexes, and he gave one to be the head of the other, so PCA does not have women ministers, to answer your question. So is that a divisive point? It is.
So does the PCA have women elders or deacons?
No. Yeah. No women elders, no women deacons. We joke about it all the time, but we don't. That's kind of a, you know, PCA humor. We have to kind of poke fun at ourselves sometimes.
What are the roles that the PCA looks at for women in the church? Other than
just everything and anything. I mean, so, you know, obviously they're...
Not everything and anything other than those.
Apart from
okay.
That.
Yes, okay.
You're right, yes. So women can teach other women, and obviously our women's ministry, if you've been to any of our women's events, you see that happening, right? And in group settings, small groups, things like that, sometimes that happens, right? But in terms of, you know, the role of minister and elder that you see in the book of Titus, right, that has been assigned and reserved for men.
So do women, you said women teach women, you're not saying that women would be a teacher in a mixed group?
They could, right? I mean, there might be some allowance for that, yeah. But as a practice, no, yeah.
Well, doesn't that fall under, is that a core belief, or is it just
mm-hmm.
one of those other things where, you know, you just accept that? But
yeah. It is a core belief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bob.
So I didn't ask this the other time. So they talked to us about the Westminster Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, the PCA uses the Book of Church Order, but I've
mm-hmm.
not heard that talked about here.
Oh, okay.
Why would that be?
Really? You guys didn't cover the BCO, so...
No, we covered the Westminster, but...
Not the Book of Church Order.
BCO.
Okay. So the Book of Church Order is one of those that's not inspired, right? But it is our book of governance, right? So this is how we do business, the business of church. And so how we organize. Every church has a similar document to govern, right? The work of the church, the body of the church. And so, but this is where, you know, the BCO is not the Bible, right? It's just, you know, it's moving from the big idea to the level of principle and practice, right? I mean, you have to have something like that, right? And so, you know, similar to our values. So the BCO is not the Bible, the BCO is not scripture, but it is the way that we organize, right? It is the way we go about, you know, governing our church. Yeah. I'll mention that to Kevin, because yeah, there should be a mention.
I don't think it has been. I have some friends who were part of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and so
OPC,
that
yeah.
was a big thing.
Yes.
But I hadn't heard it mentioned. I don't see it anywhere
in
the website and so forth. So
yeah.
That was one question I wanted to ask.
Okay. Any other questions this morning? I'm glad y'all made it. Chilly morning. All right. Well, I would also say I had as I said, I still think of myself as fairly new to the PCA, because I wasn't, you know, I mean, I'm not like third generation or anything like that. I found it in my lifetime, right? in my youth. But there is a temptation to get all this information in your head, and then you feel like you know something, and then you're being unkind to your neighbor, you know, and so how do you reconcile that? So I had a dear friend that was in the PCA for, you know, he was like third generation, something like that, and so I was having a conversation with him about that, and he said, you know what, Reuben, he says, we're not saved by the perfection of our our theology, don't forget that. And so I thought about it for a minute, and I was like, what, sacrilege, right, when he said that, and I was like, oh, well, okay, yeah, I get it. The PCA is not the Bible, right? I mean, the BCO is not the Bible. Doctrine's important, and that's why we've organized this way, and that's why we have these standards and these truths. But we have to always remember that that we're saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, right? Through Scripture alone. Because if there's any other way that we're being saved, that's a problem. All right, let me pray for us. Holy and Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to encourage us in all that you're doing, all that you've done in salvation, and all that you're doing here at this church. Father, I pray that you would, as Trey mentioned, that you would connect our hearts with our minds for your glory, and that what we think about you and how we go about worshiping you would be for your glory, that we would be most concerned with those things rather than being right over our own opinions. And so I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bind us together, your people, in the one spirit that you've given us to do that, and in the name of Jesus, for your glory. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks.
I saw. I found the email. Did everybody get the email from Alan? I had an email. I had to look for it. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, he
sent an email with a link to like dates. For the interview.
Oh yeah, we did that.
Oh, okay. Let's see. If you've not had a chance to check off the all of the classes you attended, you can do that now.
But if you get the rechargeable one,
you have the rechargeable.
That's what I'm going to get.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I just think I'm not hearing it.
So I can respond.
She'll be talking to me,
okay.
And I'm like,
he says,
yep, we were there.
I'm so tired of saying it. You're dead.
But and also, I told her, If I don't understand, I don't care.
My daughter came in.
Griffin had them, let's see, he would not wear them all the time, because he'd go. And he'd go, so he wouldn't wear them, except when it was out, going to be in the conversation.
But I was concerned, I just wore.
And so, this time, when he just got his new one, she said,
My niece comes in and has.
As the day, it's your brain.
It really is.
You lose the function.
But, you know, when I was growing up, my dad was part of the hearing, and my mother at the dinner table was the five children, and my dad said, speak up, so your father can hear that. We always thought he just turned it off, so he didn't have to listen to anything.
But you know, I was kinda like, most of the time I don't care if I hear it or not. I mean, you know, it's just kinda like.
To check us off.
Yeah. Especially with a bunch of kids around, you know. Grandkids, you know, the less noise, the sort of better, but. My doctor told me that.
Get to meet some of them last one.
Actually, if you wear your hearing aids all the time, they help you with.
Keep me informed about things.
Lessen the chance of dementia. But also, on the wider screen, I get wrong, I have tinnitus.
Morning, Al.
Just wanted to come in and say hi to everybody.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, very well. How's your wife doing?
Respiratory, she's been on antibiotics like 2 days now, and she's like, feels worse, you know?
But I'm not going in unless I have to.
The surgery went well.
And you said you had a particular individual one, that's not a tandem?
Yeah, that was good, but then she was pulled up here.
But you guys see that email I sent out that had the attachment, how to get into the church information.
You know less with DCA and all that. I mean, you know, because it's so much.
We got an email from Mark Allen on the
interview. Oh, yeah, they say this.
I thought I sent out the same day, so that would have been. Week before last, I sent out an email. I thought to all of you, I gave you a link on how to.
So put it back on.
Your cell phone.
What was the address?
There was a lady out there fishing about it.
Coming out through.
They had some problems with that.
It didn't hurt at all.
He sent it on the 14th.
There's no fear.
I had some in my fridge.
Well, I mean,
we have a fridge outside, so you forgot about it. I found it the other day, and I was like,
it was one I was
going to say. I'm going to bill me a.
Yes.
Okay. Mine is ATT.net, not
ATT.com.
Can you
afford
that?
So she doesn't have to put up and read.
That's why you got it.
Mary goes in.
Anyhow, okay, there's an attachment on there that will show you how. To go to the church website specifically to get to an area in there that allows you to see a lot of background information on the PCA church. Those are a lot of stuff that I covered and other stuff that you read or you've already got in here.
Oh, yeah.
And then other information, so it's just, it's really a nice little, you just got to do a little clicking once you get in there.
Yes, there's a shelf out there, so it's deep.
It'll be fine.
I get so many junk things.
Yeah,
I miss the ones I should look at.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure all the junk.
Yeah,
and then there's three other text messages.
You know, my wife is always going, how come you get all of that stuff? And I said, well, I guess I'm going to these different sites and they block my name.
You know, it's interesting. I don't get any trash emails.
No, but you get all the trash.
I get all the trash.
Hey, there was an email that came out about a couple of
somebody. Oh, yes. Yes, that's Rex. Well, yeah. The last thing I saw